This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stachel. You know that. You know the feeling, right? This feeling, that tiny spinning wheel on your computer screen going round and round, buffering, still buffering. Well, if you live in the Triangle, technology powerhouse Google may have a solution to your slow internet problems. It's called Google Fiber, and our area is one of nine regions recently announced as a possible site for this new technology. Joining us now is Lauren Onasorge, and she is the technology reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Lauren, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is kind of an exciting thing, but I guess we should describe, first of all, what is Google Fiber? Is it a service? Is it a technology?
Google Fiber is basically ultra-high-speed internet. Think about 100 times faster than your typical download speed. So basically lightning-fast internet. And right now it's in Kansas City. They've made announcements in Austin, in Utah, and we could be next.
Right. And so tell us about this next. It's about nine cities or nine areas that are involved,
nine
right?
areas. Last week, in case you were under a rock and didn't hear the announcement, last week they made an announcement that our metro, specifically Carrboro, Cary, Chapel Hill, Durham, Garner, Morrisville, and Raleigh would be working on a joint initiative, a joint plan to possibly get Google Fiber here. Other metros, Charlotte, Atlanta, places like that. But obviously, our eyes here are on the Triangle region.
Is it a competition among these cities, or could Google go to all of them? How does it work?
The Google spokesperson that I talked to says that the intention, the best case scenario, is that Google Fiber will be in all nine of these cities. They're going to make an announcement by the end of the year. The impression that I got was when they announced things in Austin, they really thought that it would get rolling a lot quicker than it did. It sounds like there was a lot of administrative issues. They weren't really specific about what those issues were. I'm assuming they're regulatory, things like that. So it didn't happen as fast as Google wanted it to happen. So basically, they're protecting themselves. They don't want to promise that they're going to be putting the service out there until they're absolutely sure. So by saying nine metros and working on all the planning process, that kind of thing now, they can have all their ducks in a row, be prepared to make a solid decision and go from there.
Well, let's talk about those ducks. What has to be done? Are we talking about digging trenches, laying fiber optic cable?
Everything.
And all that?
They're trying to figure out exactly what they need to do. And every place is different. I mean, obviously, a lot of places here, we have some of the fiber in place. Some areas here, actually, the cities own their own utilities. There are all sorts of things that make things easier. So they want to figure out exactly what it's going to take. And that takes a lot of conversations. And that's where these cities come into play, specifically Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Cary, Raleigh, places like that.
Now, it's interesting. Google could have done this a couple of ways. They developed this ultra-fast technology and fiber, and they could sell it to existing companies, right? And Time Warner Cable and AT&T, they could all do it. Or they can do it themselves, and then in which case, I would subscribe to them. They would be my internet service provider. Is that the deal?
Well, they're not the only game in town. We also have another initiative that came up a couple years ago. I'm sure you guys are familiar with GigU. And if you're not, I'd love to tell you about it. It's a university initiative. Here, we have several universities, including, obviously, UNC Chapel Hill, NC State, Duke University, those kinds of places that are developing another plan for broadband internet. Basically, when we submitted the plan in 2010 to be Google Fiber and lost out to Kansas City, our local leaders didn't want to give up. So people at the university, people on that level got together, started thinking of other ways we could bring broadband here, this really fast, high-speed fiber network. So GigU emerged as a pretty good possibility. They put out a call for bids last year. Time Warner was actually one of the bidders. So I'm told that that's still running. That's still being pushed forward.
So other providers could possibly buy the technology from another, from GigU or somebody like that.
More of a partnership. But yeah. That could definitely happen. I mean, it's very early. They just made this announcement last week.
But otherwise, if Google Fiber comes, it means they would be my ISP. I'd be getting a bill from them for my internet service.
If I wanted to go that way. Yeah. But there's something really interesting. And I think this is the part that people need to pay attention to, is that if Google Fiber comes here, not only will you get faster internet, obviously, if you elect to go with Google Fiber. In Kansas City, plans are $70 right now just for the internet, $120 for the Google TV. But your other provider, Time Warner, AT&T, they're going to step up their game. I mean, that's what we're seeing in Austin already. The fiber isn't even really rolling in Austin yet, and yet we're already seeing increased speeds, at lower costs. It's pretty incredible. And in Kansas City, same thing. All this competition is coming into play. And actually, in the nine metros, I think this is interesting. We think Time Warner, an analyst I talked to, corrects me. He says that AT&T is actually the big player in these nine metros. So it's not just Time Warner that's at play. It's Verizon, AT&T, all of these players that we think about, and they're all going to be scrambling
for
your business. They're all going
to make adjustments, right? So what is it that Google's looking for in these towns and areas that it's choosing?
They tell me they're looking for, she used the word circular. They're not just looking for one city. The thing that makes a triangle ideal is we're not just looking at Raleigh. We're looking at Raleigh, Durham, Morrisville, all of these surrounding areas, and even some cities that are not on the list. I've spoken with people in Knightdale, Apex, Wake Forest, who are a little bit surprised not to be included with these other players. They're surprised that, for example, Garner's on the list and not Apex. So there are a lot of people coming together, making their cases. It's exciting stuff.
Well, I have two questions. I mean, one is, why would Apex and Wake Forest, for instance, not be included in that metro area? So I'll start with that one.
Well, you'd have to ask Google. Google told me that the names of these cities came from the original RFP, the original bidding process years ago that Kansas City won. And now Wake Forest, Knightdale did not participate in that, so that could be part of it. But Apex did. In fact, Apex town manager tells me that they were in the top 10. He was very bullish. He thought that they had a really good chance. So he was very surprised. He's written a letter to Google. He expects to hear back by Friday with exactly why they weren't included.
Yeah, well, if he has to download the answer, it might be Saturday before he gets it. Let me ask you this, though. Is the fact that this is a kind of a knowledge-based economy and that's such a prominent part of the economy here, does that matter to Google?
It seems definitely like it might. Look at Kansas City. Kansas City had a rising entrepreneurship community. The Kauffman Foundation is settled there. There are all sorts of things that come into play there. I mean, they are definitely, in many ways, a lot like the Triangle. We're not Silicon Valley. We're not Boston. But we have a lot going on here. And I cover entrepreneurship and technology, so I can personally attest to the huge entrepreneurship efforts that we have going on.
Well, and I know you've talked to a lot of the entrepreneurs and some of the business leaders and CEOs of the tech firms here, and they sound pretty excited. Give us a synopsis.
Very. I would say 99% are saying, bring it on now. The 1% is saying, I don't know about economic recruitment, but it's definitely going to help us. A question that I have been getting from CEOs, and I think this is interesting, is, okay, so if Time Warner and AT&T can lower their prices and increase their service, why is it taking Google Fiber to bring that here? And I actually brought this question to an analyst at TBR last week, and it's a pretty simple question, because they don't have to.
Right. I mean, if none of the rest of them have this technology, then they're not competing against that. They don't
exactly
have to speed up and drop the cost until Google shows
and
up.
And it's an expensive process. It's extremely expensive. There's a lot of regulatory stuff you have to get through. So Google Fiber is not making money off of Google Fiber, this analyst notes.
Right.
He's telling me Google makes its money off of ads. So basically, the faster your speed, the more you can download, the more of these ads you can look at, the more money for Google. So it's hard for some of these players to compete with that at those kind of prices. I mean, margins are at play here.
Well, that's interesting, because the technology speeds up the service, but it's the business model that lowers the cost. That Google doesn't have to charge you for the service, it's going to make its money by its second, third-party participants.
Right. So Google right now in Kansas City, and again, this could change here, but in Kansas City, it's like $70 a month plus taxes and fees just for the internet part, and then they have the Google television and some plans with that as well.
You have a bunch of entrepreneurs, or at least some, who are doing quite a bit to try to attract Google. Tell us about that.
Yes. In fact, I can think of one right now, Everest Live, a guy named Eric Abel. He just started this company a couple months ago. It's very green. I would describe it sort of like a digital show and tell. It connects social media, visuals, everything. It's being used by a lot of event companies right now to really get their products and their events out there. Well, he is developing what he's calling Fibered Up, It's pretty much an initiative to show Google, see how many ads you can sell here, see how much money you can make by coming here. He's creating this big show and tell project for the Triangle, and he's not alone. I'm talking to entrepreneurs daily who are asking, what can we do? And it's a hard question to answer. I'm telling them what city leaders are saying. They're saying tweet to Google Fiber, tell them we want them here.
But it sounds like Google's already made up its mind in terms of a locale it would want to be, and it's just working on the infrastructure and kind of how hard would it be to actually make it happen? Or am I
That's
wrong?
The impression that I'm getting from Google. That's definitely the impression. They are telling me they're excited about coming here. But they're telling me they're excited about going to all of the 9 metros.
But they can.
Theoretically, they can. Yeah. The analyst I talked to says that he doesn't expect that. But Google is telling me that they could definitely go to all 9.
Is this a bigger deal for businesses or for individuals?
It depends. In Kansas City, what we're seeing, a lot of working from home, a lot of entrepreneurs utilizing the service. It's not a commercial service right now. It will be in Kansas City. I talked to Rick Usher. He's the assistant town manager yesterday in Kansas City. He's the guy who really brought this all together. And he tells me that the first neighborhood that got this service is actually called Startup Village. It's bringing a lot of entrepreneurs to a specific area, a lot of innovation, a lot of collaboration. He says it's really neat to see.
It kind of creates hubs. Lauren, thank you. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, and feel free to follow us at TribizTech.
Lauren, I almost called you Lorna, but I'll call you Lauren instead. Lauren Onosorge is technology reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. This is the State of Things. We are live from the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. And just ahead, the influence of Lebanese immigrants on the state of North Carolina. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. Broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.